Hallelujah. My name is Christ. We commence our sharing in the book of Mark. So what was the 8 sins that David committed? What was the first one? Adultery, right? That's very obvious, right? Second one? Murder, right? Second one. Third? Covet, right? Covetousness, right? Fourth? Lied, right? Fifth? He stole somebody's wife, right? What about the six? The six has to do with the first three commandments, right? The first three commandments to what? The first three commandments to what? Yeah, it's to honor God, right? And put God first in his life. But when he's walking on that roof, I mean, who was his God during that time? Yes, himself. So that's why actually, instead of looking at God to see what God wants, instead of, you know, worshiping God, because during that time, everybody else went to war, right, except for David, right? And that's another situation too, because he's by himself, he has nobody to talk to, right? So he's walking on his roof, right, and he couldn't sleep. So because of this, actually, he broke pretty much the first three commandments. That's, in other words, that he worshiped himself, that himself was his own God. If you look at the characteristic of David, from the beginning, everything he does, he always consulted with God. Everything. And even he fight, for example, if he fight a war today, with the Amalekites, for example, and then the next day he fight with the same enemy, but he still pray to God and ask God for guidance. That's how David was. But during a time on the roof, actually, he was blinded in the sense that he just... You know, his lustful desire blinded him. Why? Because he wanted what he wanted and not what God wants. Just like the young rich ruler. You see the young rich ruler. What was his God? What was his God, the young rich ruler? What's that? Yes, his possessions, right? And I would actually is himself, right? So quite often, you and I, the biggest God in our lives, is it money? Is it school? What is it? It's ourself. Really? Because we worship ourselves so much, right? Because, you know, when Paul said to Timothy, right, the sign of the end days, when men become what? Love with themselves. That becomes first than love of money, right? Love of themselves. This is the sign of the end days. That's why we always joke around, right? I this, I that, right? It's true. Everything is about I. So that's why you and I must be very careful that we don't put ourselves above God. We are not sitting on the throne that God's supposed to sit. And in church, this is what's going on right now. You know, in the PMVP, we're studying the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about heresy and things like that. And we can see very clearly that the Antichrist will come within us. One of you will be the Antichrist. Some of you will be the Antichrist. Maybe Voodoo will be the Antichrist. Right? Maybe Pastor Raymond, right, become the Antichrist. So you have to be very cautious and be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. And also, yesterday, some students came to me privately and asked me to answer this question. And the question is about masturbation, right? Because they heard some brothers say it's okay to masturbate, right? And some people say, no, it's not okay. So is it okay to pleasure oneself or not? No, okay. There's a voice from over there, no, right? Why is it no? Who said no?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes. So of course, no, if, for example, at your age, you want to release yourself, right? If you want to release yourself naturally, because sometimes you get up, you call a wet dream, right? Because actually, just naturally at nighttime, you just feel and then you pleasure yourself without knowing it. And that is fine, right? But if you pleasure yourself with the thoughts, dirty thoughts come to your mind, and then that is the sin, right? That is a sin. Okay? And I mean, it's just very simple, right? Very simple. Of course, quite often we always think brothers the one have the problems, but actually sisters also have problems too. But sisters are very quiet, right, about it, right? Because sisters don't talk about this kind of stuff, right? But actually, the problem is, you know, across gender, my cross-gender. Okay? Any other question pertaining to that? Okay, let's go to a book, Book of Mark. The Book of Mark, chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4. So I'm sure that many of you are very familiar with the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower. Who is the sower in this parable? Who is the sower in this parable? Who is the sower in this parable? Chapter 4, verse 3, right? Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Who is this sower? I'm sorry? Anyone is preaching. Yes, that's true. Right? But actually, not just anyone is preaching. Our brother and sister are preaching. Because why? Because this seed gives life. Right? This seed gives life. So if you don't preach the right, preach teaching or the right word, then of course, the sowing will not be the right person that sow. Of course, the sows also our Lord Jesus Christ. And how many grounds did they sow on? How many grounds? How many? Four grounds, right? And what was wrong with the first three grounds? What was wrong with the first three grounds? The first ground, what was wrong with the first ground? What's that? Yeah, so the seed just fell by the wayside. So because of this, the bird of the air, right? What is the bird of the air represent? Satan. So in other words, yes, even though you can be here for 2 weeks, listen to the word of God, but if you allow the word of God to fall on the wayside, then the bird of the air can look and see, they'll take it away. But if you put the word of God, just like Pastor Ho shared, it's hidden in your heart. And then if the birds fly, can they see the seed? Of course not, right? They cannot see the seed because it's deep inside your hearts. And what's wrong with the second ground? What was wrong with the second ground? What's that? Rocky, yes. Rocky, this means not enough earth, right? If any one of you plant a certain plants, right, you know that rocky ground is not good. Why? Because first, it's not enough nutrition. And second, if the root want to take, and then it cannot take, why? Because it's too rocky. Because if a plant is not rooted, and then just a little wind comes, it just blows it away. And then when it's a little drought, because the root is not deep enough, it gets dry very quickly. One thing that amazes me, right, in Hawaii, you know there's coconut trees in Hawaii? And in Hawaii, they always have tropical storm. And those coconut trees, some coconut trees like 40 feet, 50 feet high, right? And when the tropical storm comes, the coconut tree can pretty much bend, right, parallel to the ground without breaking it. You guys ever see that? When it's so windy, right, the coconut tree just go like this, right? And why doesn't it break? Why doesn't it break? Huh? Yes, it's very deeply rooted. If you look at a coconut tree, the root is humongous, right? If you compare the root to, you know, to the tree trunk itself, it's way bigger. And because of this, there's so much nutrition go to the branches and the leaves, and the trunk itself is very, very strong. So hardly any coconut tree will fall unless they just grow like next to the beach and there's like a landslide, whatever, so the root is not, you know, it's not being rooted. But beside that, the coconut trees are very, very powerful, right? That's the way you and I should be. And what the promise of third ground? What's that? Thorns, right? Did it bear fruit? Did it bear fruit? Yes. But what's the problem with the fruit? Yes, it's not mature, right? So now it had bear fruit, but before you eat it, and it's gone. Why? Because all the thorns choke it. It cannot bear fruit to maturity for to eat it. But the fourth ground, right? The fourth ground. Let's go to the book of Matthew, okay? Compare these three verses, okay? And give me the conclusion, these three verses. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 23. Actually, let's read quickly the three problems with the first three grounds. That's in verse 19, okay, verse 19. Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, right? Does not understand it. That's what it means to be on the wayside. The wicked one comes and snatch away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Verse 20. But he who receives seed... So the first problem, what is it? They cannot understand it, right? The first problem, they cannot understand it. Second, in verse 20. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Verse 21. Yet he has not root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So the second problem that what? He cannot accept it, right? He cannot accept it. So rooted can mean cannot accept it. And let's see the third problem. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Why unfruitful? So here, of course, the other versions say that when they say unfruitful, this means even though you bear fruit, but if the fruit do not become maturity, it's like it's unfruitful. For example, right now I have two pear trees in my yard, and one bear fruit, and I be able to take the fruit and eat it. But there's another tree, of course, right next to it, it bear fruit, but it all fell off, right? It all fell off because I don't know why. I think the rabbits went up there and tried to eat all of it, right? But whatever it was, but it was too green for me to eat it. But before I ate it, it was already gone, right? It fell down and all the rabbits ate it. So that's why, to me, even though it's bare fruit, but actually it's unfruitful. You cannot eat of it. So let's look at the fourth ground, verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bear fruits and produces, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So here, this fourth ground, what is so good about this fourth ground? What is so good about this fourth ground?
What to make a fourth ground different from all the other grounds?
What's that? Yes, it produces a lot more, but how come it produces a lot more? Yes, first is good ground. What does this ground represent? Huh? Yes, our hearts. The ground represents our hearts, right? And that's why in the Old Testament, there's only one inheritance. You cannot give it away. You cannot give it to anybody. Even the king wants it, you cannot give it to the king. What is that inheritance? What's the inheritance? Okay, the kingdom of God, okay. Somewhat you are right, but yeah, in the Old Testament, right? What is the inheritance that you inherit from your family that you cannot give away? Okay, birthright, yes. You say birthright. But with, what's that? Land, yes. Land in Old Testament, you cannot give to anybody. That land represents what? Your heart. Your heart. That heart passed from generation to generation. So no matter what, remember King Ahab, right? He won the vineyard, right? And he's all crying, stuff like that, but he cannot take it. He had to kill, you know, that owner of the vineyard to get it. But this is the land. It's so precious to God because this land is the kingdom of heaven. This land is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And guess who won this land the most? Guess who wants to occupy this land the most? Huh? Satan, yes. So in the end days, when there's a battle Armageddon, guess what he wants? Guess what piece of land he wants? Yes, even though it say, yeah, we think there's Israel and stuff like that, but actually, Israel is history already. We are the chosen people. We are spiritual Israelites. In the end days, guess what piece of land that Satan wants to occupy is here. That is the battle Armageddon. When the river Euphrates all dried up, right? And then the enemy will cross and battle against Jerusalem. What does that mean, spiritually speaking? When you and I no longer pray and be filled with God's Spirit, and the river, right, the Spirit of God would dry up around our hearts, that's when Satan will cross over and occupy this land and kill it and ruin it. So that's why I make sure it's so important that you and I must build a great wall around our hearts, and I would be filled with God's Spirit. If not, Satan will come and occupy this land, and it's too late for us. Then we have no more inheritance. Because if we lose the land in this life, we also lose the land that we can inherit in the life to come. So that's why here, the first ground must be a good ground, right? Good ground. How many of you like to plant things? Right? Good ground is so important, right? And of course, each tree that you plant, you have to have a certain kind of ground. Not every ground will work for everything, right? For example, you plant roses. Right? You plant roses. What do you think kind of ground you need? I see roses, they cannot survive if the ground is always very moist. They need, you know, a good drainage. That's the ground that they need. So now when you water it, the water must go through very quickly. If not, then it sits there, the root will decompose, will rotten, and then it will die. So you must know, right? And each one of our hearts also like this. We have to know what make our hearts become good. Right? What make our hearts become good. And we have to fertilize it all the time too. Roses, you have to fertilize once every 3 months. You have to give them a lot of food. And only then they continue to grow, right? They continue to grow. Okay? So we must know our hearts. So here, the ground must be good. So when you hear the word of God, this means when the soul sow the seed in the good ground, then it's very easy to grow. So this good ground, how was it be able to bear fruit? Yes, it's good ground, and what else? What else here? What else besides being good ground? Verse 23. Anyone? Yes, you understand the word. And what was the problem with the first ground? That cannot understand it, right? If you don't have a good heart, you can be here for 2 weeks listening to the word of God. Then you cannot understand it. Why? Because your heart is hardened. Your heart is not good. No matter how much seed you throw into this ground, it's a waste. But a good ground, when you throw the seed onto it, it will bear fruit. It will, you know, start to sprout. That means the good ground can understand it. Because the first problem of the first ground, that they cannot understand it. So this is so important, right? So that's why we take so much time to explain to all of you about the doctrines, about God's teaching, so you can understand it. If you don't understand it, there's no way you're going to sprout or bear fruit inside your heart. There's no way. I mean, pretty much all of you, right? You go to college, and you guys are very smart. And you read a lot of stuff out there. There's nothing wrong with that. But to read the Bible even more. Right? Read the Bible even more. Because only the Bible can give us life. Nothing else in this world can give us life. Biology cannot give us life. Engineer cannot give us life. Computer science cannot give us life. Nothing can give us life except for the Word of God. So why not read the Word of God more than anything out there? It doesn't mean you cannot study hard, but you should study hard also. But read the Word of God even more. Let's turn the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Okay? Let's go. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So here, this ground is also good. But this good ground, what is the difference between this good ground and the first good ground we read? Remember the first good ground we read is what? They can understand it, right? What about this one? Accept it. And what was wrong with the second ground? Remember what's wrong with the second ground? Yeah, too shallow. Because of this, they cannot what? They cannot accept it, you understand? They cannot be rooted. Why? Because if you don't accept it, if the ground doesn't accept it, how can it be rooted? But if you cannot understand it, how can you accept it? First, you must understand it. And only by understanding, then you can accept it. That's why it's so important. If you have doubt about our church, about what, you know, the doctrine that we believe, you must pray to God and ask God to understand His word. And only then that your heart will open up to accept it. If you don't understand it, how would you accept it? Even you accept it blindly. And when you accept it blindly, sooner or later, when this trying tribulation comes, then you will fall. But you're not really deeply rooted. So also, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But the one that fell on the good ground are those who haven't heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. See, let's, you know, in verse 14, right? Verse 14 says, now the one that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with clear, richest pleasure of life and bring no fruit to maturity, right? No fruit to maturity. That's why we're saying, even though it bears fruit, but it's no fruit to maturity. But in verse 15, here, this good ground, right? This good ground, they added what? Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, right? Noble and good heart. And how was it to be able to bear fruit, this ground, in the book of Luke? What is it? Remember, they understand it, accept it, and this one is what? Keep it. So now, what if you have good hearts, it will resolve the first three problems on the ground. The first three ground, they cannot understand it, they cannot accept it, they cannot keep it. But this good ground, it has all those three things. It understand it, it accept it, and also, it be able to keep it. So that's why it's so important when you and I read the Word of God. When you and I read the Word of God, we must read with a pure heart. We must read with a noble heart. If we read the Word of God, try to challenge it in the sense that, oh, you know, I want to prove that this is wrong, is that wrong? It's not going to work that way. And I recommend all of you, before you read the Word of God, what should you say? What should you say before you read the Word of God? Yes, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, you read the Word. If you don't, the first 30 seconds, you'll fall asleep. Really? If you don't, sometime you read it, it becomes so boring. If you don't, Satan will whisper in your ears, oh, this, don't read it. Why do you need to read it? It's stupid anyway. Really, it's like this. That's why the minute you pick up the Bible to read it, you're fighting against Satan. You fight against Satan. I remember one of my friends, he loves to read, right? He loves to read. And I remember when the book of Michael Jackson and his monkey came out, you know? And in one sitting, he finished reading like 450 pages. But I gave him the Bible to read. He just read the first verse in Genesis, he cannot read it anymore. He tried to read. He can't read it. Because Satan is blocking him. So that's why, you know, even though we joke around sometimes, right? Or when we read the Bible and then we fall asleep, this and that. Actually, it's not something to joke around. That means Satan is coming, whispering in your ears, fall asleep, right? Really? One time a pastor was giving a sermon, right? And he see that all the brothers in the back and all the brothers and sisters in the back all falling asleep. And all of a sudden God opened his eyes. Then Satan came by, just tapped their shoulder, right? Go to sleep. They all fell asleep in the back. So when you read the Bible and you cannot really keep your eyes open, I mean, really, I'm sure that a lot of you experienced this before. You are full of energy, right? You do a lot of things, this and that, right? Why do you, when you play video games, you can open your eyes for 12 hours, right? And you don't feel tired. You feel like, wow, you're full of energy, doing this, doing that, right? But read the Bible 30 seconds later. It cannot be just physical, you understand? It cannot change like that. If you, you know, even you try to drink coffee, right? Some of you, if you drink caffeine, you feel like you're awake, right? Try to do that and also read the Bible. You still feel the same way. Almost all of you. You read it, you're going to fall asleep. Because Satan really put this, I don't know, something in your eyes to fall asleep. Even for myself, the same thing too. You have to say in the name of Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, if you don't say it, and then Satan will be right there, close your eyes, closing your ears, and you just fall asleep. So that's why we must read the Bible with a good and noble heart. Read to understand it. So we can accept it. And only when we accept it, then we can keep the Word of God. Okay? Any question, any thought on this? Okay. Let's go to the book of Mark. So the same thing, you know, of course, sometimes physically we are very tired, and that's understandable. You know, when you're here, you sit all day, listen to the Word of God and things like that, and, you know, you tend to fall asleep because you're tired. And that's normal. But not every single day when you're home, you're reading, you always fall asleep. And every Sabbath, you go to church and you also fall asleep during the service. That's not normal. You must pray hard and cast out Satan. Right? Because he sent you a sleeping spirit. That's why you fall asleep. You know, evil spirit, there's all different kinds of evil spirit. Remember the servant woman when Paul was preaching, right? And she keep yelling, the mighty workers of God, right? This and that, right? And why did Paul cast her out? Why? What kind of spirit does she have? Huh? Yeah, disturbing or annoying spirit, right? It seems it's okay, right? She's saying all the good things about them, right? But actually she keep interrupting them, right? Annoying them. This one sister in Taiwan, and she would call the pastor, say, "Pastor, please, you know, tell brother and sister come to pray for me. Because I feel very sick." So during that time, the pastor and stuff came over to the church. They prayed together. And she's like, "Okay, I feel better. Then everybody went home. And again, she called the pastor, "Oh, I feel really sick again," right? And she did that several times. And the pastor realized there's something abnormal about the sister, right? Then he realized, actually, she's possessed by the evil spirit. Then he tried to cast out the evil spirit. Then she said, no, don't cast me out, right? If you give me $1, I will go out. Of course, evil spirit doesn't need money, right? But he's just an annoying spirit, you understand? So then the pastor said, "No, I will not give you $1. Just give me 90 cents. Just give me 90 cents. And then he said, "No, just give me 50 cents, right? And it got all with like, 5 cents. And then the pastor said, "No, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out." And then he just went out. Right? And that kind of spirit. And I remember one of the NYTS in Pacifica Church, there's 7 different kind of evil spirit came to bother me. And, you know, this evil spirit, actually, some of them, they're just funny, right? There's funny evil spirit. But funny in a sense that, like, they would irritate you. For example, I tried to sleep, it would push me, right? Rock me back and forth like, hey, like that, right? Because if I cannot fall asleep, I cannot focus in class the next day, right? So it keeps shaking me like this, right, all the time. Even I sleep like this, and then it turns me like this, right? Like all night. So I didn't want to fall asleep. But the last spirit who came to bother me, he was a very powerful evil spirit. He just wrapped his arm around me, and then he took me to a different dimension. And this evil spirit, actually, you know that he was very powerful because he doesn't talk. He just do, you know? Wrapped me around and took me to a different dimension. Then actually that place is hell and Hades. The place is full of darkness, and all I heard is women and children screaming and yelling, save me, like that, right? Then actually, I tried to cast him out, I couldn't. I thought I was going to die, I thought I was going to die. And then, thank God, in the corner of my eyes, and I saw this light. And this light became bright and bright. And then God took my soul, right, put back to my body. And really, thank God, and then, you know, and then I was alive again. I was back in my body again. And in Baum Park Church, I remember that Satan, it was just like, the Matrix, right? You know the Matrix, the black guy, we all black suit and stuff like that? Yeah, me and Pastor Cole were sleeping next to each other, and all of a sudden this portal opened up, and they all dress like the guy from the Matrix. I don't know why. And they keep coming, and they're just fighting, right? They want to kill me and Pastor Cole, right? And we just sit there, cast it out all night. There's thousands of them. There's thousands of them. Of course, the next day, I talked to Pastor Cole. Hey, you remember what happened last night? He's like, no. Because actually his spirit, right, was helping me out to cast out the evil spirit. But he didn't realize it, right? But he was right next there to me, casting it out, right? So it's all different kind of evil spirit. So why do I say this? Look at chapter 5, right? We're talking about now chapter 5. Chapter 5, let's read verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gennarenes, verse 2. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with unclean spirit. So what kind of spirit is this? Unclean spirit, right? So really, they're different evil spirit. And actually, I know some people experience the spirit of sex, right? Sexual spirit. And of course, sometimes brothers joke around, oh, that'd be so fun, right? Isn't that, right? But actually, this sexual spirit actually is very evil. It's very unclean, right? It's very unclean. So any brothers experience this, they feel so disgusted, right? So evil. So don't say unconsciously, oh, maybe I want to experience it, right? No, those kind of stuff is just very unclean. Of course, the brothers cannot explain exactly what it is. But you just feel so disgusting. It's just someone take a big doo-doo on you, right? That's how they say it, right? Just someone take a big doo-doo on you. You just feel in the toilet, right? That's how you feel, how disgusting it is, how filthy it is, right? Then, of course, this unclean spirit, verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Verse 4, because he had often been bound with shackles and chain, and the chain had been pulled apart by him, and the shackle broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. So what does this mean? Think about this, right? What is the name of this evil spirit? What's the name? Legion, right? Why is it legion? Because there are many. Remember when Jesus Christ sent him to the swine, right? How many swines were there during the time? Huh? 2,000, right? Is it 2,000? Yes. So there's many of them, right? Legions, I mean many. Can you imagine many of them occupied in one person? So that's why even though they put chains and stuff around him, shackles and chains, he can just pull them apart by himself. And the shackle would broke in pieces. That's how powerful he was. Actually, this also happened in our church. I remember one time I was in Africa, and one of the, he's not a believer, but one of the believer's brother, he is very strong. So anyone go, especially try to preach to him, he would pick them up and just throw them just like this, right? Throw them just like this. So the sister say, please, to one of our workers, say, please go and preach to my brother. And thank God that worker was not scared. So he went over there. And all of a sudden, he saw this man. He said he reminded him just like, a bull. That's how he was. Strong and very powerful. And the minute he started to speak, he started to run toward him. Of course, and then this worker said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and he just stopped, and then he tried to go through it, right? And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, and he tried to go through it. Then all of a sudden, this guy pick up an axe, right, and throw at this worker. Then as he pick it up and throw at the worker, and the worker say, in the name of Jesus Christ, right, and the axe just stopped. Right in front of him like this, right? And he said, hallelujah. And then the axe turned. And then he said, if he would have said hallelujah again, the axe would go toward this person. But instead, he didn't say it, it dropped. And then the brother, the worker, went there and just grabbed him. In the name of Jesus Christ, come with me. This powerful person like that, right? And that brother, I think he's like 5'5", right? And he's not a pastor, he's just a worker. So, you know, the question that you guys asked before, right? So it's not about if you're a pastor, a deacon, deaconess, not. It's how filled you are in the Spirit of God. Because all of us, we are children of God after baptism. So we manifest the fullness of God and filled with God's word, and then we can do all these things. So he just brought that person back. Then brought him to church. They prayed for him, stuff like that, and then he got baptized. And he was saved. But say he was very, very powerful. Anyone go next to him, just throw them just like a doll, right? A rag doll. Just like that. But with our church members and with us, you can see Satan cannot stand in front of us. If you and I are holy and righteous and pure, filled with the Spirit, filled with God's word, Satan cannot stand in front of us. That's how powerful we are. That's how powerful we are. Of course, you heard also this testimony one time during baptism. Actually, this brother, he drinks a lot, right? He drinks a lot. I mean, he was a truth seeker before he became a member, but, you know, and right the day before baptism, he said to himself, you know, I want to drink and get drunk for the last time. So sure enough, he drank and got drunk. Then during baptism, all of a sudden, Satan just, you know, took him away, right? Took him away from baptism, so he was swimming into the deep ocean. But the pastor who was baptized said, in the name of Jesus Christ, that he shared that there's a hand went over, right, and grabbed that brother and pulled him back. So he was coming back like this, right? He didn't even turn around, he just came back. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. But you and I must tap into that source, right? We must be connected to that kind of power by being holy, being righteous, being pure. If we are not connected, that's why it seems, you know, that our church is so blah, right? It's nothing here. Really. I really encourage you, study the Bible more, pray more, and you realize this is the only church. Because what I have witnessed since 16 years in TJC and what I have experienced is incredible. There's no other church can do this. For example, both my father had passed away. And I share with you my adopted father. You know, the first two times he was going to die, Satan was the one come and to get him. But after baptism, the door opened in a church during that time, and Jesus Christ was come to get him. That is very different than the first two times, because he got baptized. And he was baptized before in the Catholic Church when he was 9 years old, in living water, but in the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And my dad was a great guy. Really has such a great heart. But it doesn't matter, he cannot be saved, only after baptism. And my biological father, he had a brain aneurysm, right? So he was on life support in the hospital. And during that time, we were thinking, because he suffers so much, we need to pull out the life support. But of course, my mother, right? She's, you know, they've been married, I don't know how many years, 50, 60 years, for so many years, right? And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because even though he's on life support, but his brain is like mush, right? And he just suffers a lot. Every time they clean out his system, he would go into a convulsion, and it's very painful. So as children, we just see that we really need to take off the life support. And then she say, no, no way. So that night, it just happened that, you know, if this was my dad laying on the bed like this, and I was on one side and she was on one side. And as we laying down, all of a sudden, she saw a man dressed in white came and lay hands on her and told her it's okay to let him go. Right? Then at first she thought it was me, right? But then she realized, I didn't wear white, you know. And of course, this white is so holy. Then she realized it was Jesus Christ. So she told us, okay, you can take off, you know, take the life support off of him. And we took off the life support. We knew he's not going to be there too long. But we realized that, you know, my dad struggled so much trying to stay alive, right? Because, you know, as a dad, he always worried about the children and things like that. So I see him struggle like that. I just say to him, Dad, it's okay. You can go to heaven before us. We'll meet you there. And after I say that, he stopped breathing. So you can see, and all my siblings, of course, a lot of my siblings, they're not believers. So they know that my dad, of course, we try to talk to himself, he cannot hear, right? But that time when I spoke to him, he heard me. I mean, right in front of them, right? He heard me. Then he just stopped breathing. And hopefully with these experiences, they really, you know, can come to know Jesus Christ, right? But really, our church is the true church. I can sit here all day and tell you about my journey of faith and my family and things like that. Now there's 13 of my family members in Christ. Really just completely amazing, right? Completely amazing. So that's why you guys are so blessed, right? Most of you are born in church. This is the great inheritance that your, you know, parents have passed down to you. You cannot lose it. Continue to hold on to it. So that's why, you know, when we think about this evil spirit, yes, fine, he was possessed by 2,000 demons. But compared to Jesus Christ, he is nothing, just like for us too. And also, what does it tell us about, even though people try to put shackles on him, try to put chains on him, and he can break into pieces, what does that mean? What is our life's teaching? What is our life teaching? When you read the Bible, right, you have to try to explain in the context and also try to apply to our daily lives, right? How can we apply this to our daily lives? Guys getting more tired, huh? I think you should turn on the AC up a little bit, right? It's a little hot in here too, so that people fall asleep too. Make it really cold so you cannot fall asleep, right? So how can we apply this to our life nowadays? Yes, brother. Yes, man cannot control evil spirit. That is very true, right? That's very true. And what else? What else? For sure here, men cannot control evil spirit. That's why I share with you before. I probably experienced evil spirit maybe 30, 40 times since I came to Christ. Never once I was not afraid of him. Why? Because I'm in the flesh, you understand? He's in the spirit. There's no way I can overcome him beside the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's so powerful. When he brought me, you know, when he held me and brought me to a different dimension, there's no way in my power I can get away from that. He just completely have control over me and power over me. That's why I thought I was going to die. But praise and thank God, right? God had mercy. And what else? So what's wrong with this man? So if you think about this man now in terms of this man nowadays, what's wrong with him? Huh? I'm sorry?
He's unclean, yes. So he's unclean,
yes. It's true that he's unclean. But think about this man. First, where's his home? Yeah, he lives in a tomb, right? I mean, who would live in a tomb, in a cave, right? Who would live there? Only animals, right? Only animals. That's why, actually, in Old Testament, when I think the book of Judges, when the Israelites, they sin greatly against God, and then they cannot live anywhere except for the caves and the tombs, things like that, right? Because they live just like animals, because God was not with them because they sinned so much against God. So here, he lived just like an animal, just like a bear or something, right? Live in a cave, live in a tomb, right? Of course, tomb, probably full of dead bodies and stuff there too, right? That's where they bury dead people. So for him, he's really unclean, so he lived there. And can you imagine the life of this man? Wouldn't be good, right? Of course, people try to bind him. Why do people try to bind him? Even though they put shackles and chain, but he break them in pieces. Not just break them, he broke them in pieces. That's how powerful he was. So just like nowadays, actually, a lot of people have a lot of mental disorder nowadays, right? Maybe they have major depression or schizophrenia or post-traumatic stress disorder, whatever it is. Men cannot subdue those kind of sickness. No matter what psychologist, psychiatrist you go to, they're not going to be able to help this kind of person. I worked in the world about 10 years, and I saw all different kind of patients. Some patient I saw, she thought she was a Bruce Lee, right? And she also thought she was Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? The Terminator. And I also saw a guy used to eat people before, right? He was a cannibal. And yeah, all these things. I mean, I can speak to him for about 50 minutes. He doesn't blink his eyes. Can you speak to someone without blinking the eyes? Yeah, for 50 minutes. So when I see him, I usually sit at the door and he sit inside, right, just in case something goes wrong, I just close the door on him, right, and run away, right? Really, without God during that time, I would never see this kind of person. Why? Because his previous therapist, he always threatened to kill a whole family. So she had to sell a house and move to a different state. And then this man, not only that, I had to go to court and testify against him because he's not fit to take care of his four children. And all his four children are suicidal because actually he does a lot of witchcraft, right? Because he killed two people when he was in Cambodia, and because two people killed his parents. So what happened, he chopped them up and he pickled them, right? And then he saved them, then he eat for the next 2 years, try to finish, eat their body like that, right? That's why he's possessed by a lot of demons. When you talk to this person, really, you just feel the chill in your body. And some of my co-workers, of course, when I work with him, then also we had to work with his children. So when they work with children, they have to go home to do visitation. The minute they open the door, they just leave. They say it's so freaky, his house. Because you have incense burning, stuff like that. And some of them even see spirit inside. And he testified to me that the spirit inside him is very powerful. And all the other evil spirits just come and he bind them, right? Because other spirits also want to bother his children, so he just bind them. It's crazy stuff, right? Believe it or not. Even one of my patients, he's a chubby little guy. He's like 5 feet tall. He's very chubby. And one time they find him on top of the tree. Like this tree is like 40 feet high. There's no way that he himself can climb this tree. He's too chubby, right? And they found him in his underwear, right? He's in his underwear. So what happened, he was possessed by evil spirit, and then the spirit told him, look, come up here, I'll give you money. Come up here, I'll give you money, right? So for him, he's just in sleep, climbing up. And some of my patients, they eat raccoons and stuff at nighttime. They would go kill raccoons and eat it. Would you guys do that? No. It's demonic, right? Demonic. And they only hunt at nighttime. They go out at nighttime. I mean, if you guys believe it or not, but this is the reality, right? So that's why when you walk out there and you're not filled with God's spirit, and Satan knows, oh, these are chosen people of God. Look at his spirit, right? Satan can tell. You can say, yeah. No, there's no need. Why shouldn't I cast them out? Why? Huh? Why? To save them. But actually, none of them want you to cast it out. You understand? They enjoy that kind of life. They enjoy that kind of power. And they don't want salvation. You understand? So even any one of you, you possess by evil spirit, and you don't want, in your mind, you don't want it to go out, right? For example, one of the sisters was bothered by the evil spirit, and she was full of pride, right? And she enjoyed that kind of feeling. So when we tried to cast it out, guess what she did? She started laughing at us. This is in Ball Park Church, during NYTS. A lot of stuff happened during NYTS. And she started to laugh at us. And then you try to cast out, saying, ha, you can't cast me out, like that, right? Then we realize, why can't we cast it out? Then we sat her down and talk. Then she won that kind of feeling inside. Because during one of the testimonies, and she testified about how she was baptized and things like that, she was so proud. And then evil spirit came into her, and she likes it. And don't think, oh, this is very abnormal, right? But think about this, right? Some of us addicted to pornographic, you think, what kind of spirit is that? Some of us like to gossip, right? I'm telling you, that evil spirit inside of you make you addicted to a certain things, right? I'm sure there's a spirit of video games. I'm sure, right? Because the whole, you know, so many people in this world are addicted to, you know, media and things like that, right? Yes? No, sleepwalking is a disorder, right? Yeah, do you sleepwalk? Oh, okay, yeah. But of course, if you sleepwalk, make sure at nighttime before you go to bed, you put your clothes on, right? Yeah, I mean, none of you have sleeping disorder, right? I mean, sleeping disorder, right? Yeah, so it's very dangerous, actually. You got to lock your doors and stuff like that and take the key away and stuff like that, right? Yes? Yes, well, we're going to that. We're going to that, okay? So that's why it's so important. Don't think, right? Oh, let me finish the story about the sister, right? So after we talked to her, he's like, look, you must repent of your pride. You must repent of your pride. Then she prayed, right? And then why she was praying? Because the time we asked counselor to pray beside her, right? And for example, the pew like this. So one counselor is there, one counselor, and she prayed in the middle. And she would just get up and jump over the pew, right? And just run around like a crazy person, right? Then we continue to pray for her. And all of a sudden, actually, she got rid of her pride. And now, when she see the minister, she gets so scared. I remember one time she was running out, and the minister followed her. If you know Bong Park Church, right, there's an office on the side, right? And there's a copy machine there, right? And the minister couldn't find her, and then they found her hiding behind the copy machine because she was so scared of the ministers, right? Because of course, the evil spirit, when a person doesn't want you to be there, to cast it out is very easy. But if a person indulges in that kind of feeling, so that's why when you pray to God, God, please get rid of my addiction of pornographic. But you yourself, you like it, you enjoy it. It's not going to come out. Do you understand? But if you truly want to stop, just like one brother, he used to be a gangster, so he smoked so much, right? So we tell him, you cannot smoke, right? Smoking is no good for you, this and that. He's like, I know, right, this and that. And then before, he always asked God to help him, but he was never serious. He still wanted to smoke. But one day, he was really serious, stopping smoking. So he said, God, really, I want to stop smoking. So one day, he was smoking, and he walked, and he fell, and he split his lips from here to there. Right? That's where he hold his cigarettes, right? He split his lips all bloody and stuff like that. So it's so painful, he can't even hold his cigarettes, right? And guess what happened? And then he switched his cigarette to the other side. And guess what happened? He fell again and smacked his whole mouth, right? Then he could not hold a cigarette anywhere. So thank God he stopped smoking. Yeah. If you are serious and stopping something, you are sincere, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. But ready. You have to be ready, right? Because God will do something sometime, you know, to let us know, to refine us. Quite often you need fire, and fire is very painful. So if we indulge in something we like so much and we ask God to take away from us, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Let's bow and pray in silence.